4 HK mobile.
VWA. What's up, Patrick? You headed home?
I'm on the other side of the black hole, so I'm almost home.
Good. Kind of a soggy day, but I hope it was successful for you.
Bad day. It was quick, but it wasn't a bad day.
It goes by quickly when you're working hard and getting things done. So, that's a good day. Well, so, it's supposed to rain tomorrow?
I don't think so, but I really hadn't looked.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be prepared to be inside all day tomorrow, either way, so won't really matter to me much, but I know it will to you because you'll be running around. So what area are you going to work tomorrow? Over towards Greer?
Taylor's area all day tomorrow.
Well, that's good. Well, if we're headed off to church tonight, we always do a supper over there on Wednesday nights before service, so. And I gotta drive the golf cart tonight. I'll be out in this slush. Well, but you know what? I just looked up in there. It's breaking up. Look off to your west. Does it look like it's breaking up to your west?
That's what I was going to say. That's heading right toward it.
Well, maybe it'll just drizzle a little while longer by the time I get out on that golf cart in about 45 minutes. It'll have stopped drizzling by then. But either way, we'll get it done.
Tomorrow.
Every Thursday deal where I go over and meet up with my friends and we build plastic until about 1 or 2 o'clock. And then tomorrow afternoon, I don't know what the score is going to be, but me and the sweetie may ride up to Traveler's Rest and try to buy a bunch of chicks.
For that, I know that's been a hot commodity here lately.
$4.75 a piece, already sexed, and we got a guy up the street from us that it's pot luck as to what you get. So, you know, they're $3 a piece. And we're not going to put in 100 of them. We're only going to put in, like, what did we say, half a dozen?
Yeah, about 6 or 7.
Yeah, we're going to put in about 6 or 7, maybe 8. So, anyhow, I got a chicken coop to expand here in the next week or so.
Know what you mean. The wife and I have been talking about it ourselves. Got a 10 by 10 dog lot out there. Thinking about turning it into a chicken coop.
What is it? What is it? Chain link?
It's not chain link, but it's metal wire fence. It's one of the better dog lots.
Just make sure you cover the top of it. You don't want hawks or chicken hawks and all kinds of flying predators getting over the top of the fence and getting down in there, especially barn owls. So, and it's a little bit neater if you cover it, you know, just maybe even with just a tarp to kind of keep some of the water out of there. It doesn't get quite as messy. So, anyhow, just a little food for thought. So, well, listen, we pulled in here, and we're going to run on in, and I will talk to you again soon. So, anyhow, K and 4, VWA. I'll talk to you in 73s. Clear?
73, Steve. You and the missus have a good evening. And it's already got a roof on it. It's a covered dog block. K04 8K.
Have a good evening.
4DJW mobile.
Dave, K04 8K. Won't be long, but I'm here for a few minutes.
Have you started your ascent up the mountain yet?
I am on the other side of the black hole.
Oh, wow. You're way ahead of the game. what time? Yeah, it's only 5:49. Did you quit early today?
I got done early. I got done about, right around 4 o'clock.
At least you get to enjoy a little bit of sun, a little bit of daylight before it becomes dark.
Probably an hour and a half of it up here.
So, you want a link to a place to build a 6-meter antenna?
One you put on the Facebook page?
This is a 6-meter antenna, yeah. That one takes a little more time to build. There's also a Slim Jim and a J-pole that's made out of 450-ohm ladder line that is cheaper and a quicker build.
Give it a try.
I'll tell you what, that's a good idea. I'll put that one out there on the website as well, so you can just pull it from there. And that way, if you have any questions and other people have the same questions, everybody will see the same answers.
Thing about having the group, if one person asks a question, hopefully everybody reads it and don't ask the same one over and over again.
I've got one in the attic that's running on 2 meters. I haven't ever had a 6-meter one. But I've never built a Slim Jim. I've always built like J-poles out of 450-ohm or 300-ohm twin lead. I tried a Slim Jim, which is the only difference is it's got the other end of the element that goes up and around the top. It comes back down the other side and it stops and leaves a little gap, whereas the J-pole doesn't have that element. It's just missing. But you can build it either way and get instructions on how to do both and how to tune both.
I'll have to take a look at it, see what I can manage to come up with.
As many radios that you've got that's capable of 6 meters to work on 6 meters. Heat up some 6-meter finals.
I can't hit Parrish Mountain from my house at all.
I can hit it from my house with a handheld. So you can do mobile.
Behind me says no go.
No go?
If I'm getting out of
the mountain behind you says no go? Is that what you said?
Yeah, roger that.
About maybe on the truck when you're out and about. You'll have 2-meter and 6-meter capability.
What about that? I just hadn't broke down and done it yet.
Does your rig in the car, in the truck, does it have 6-meter capability?
No, it does not. I have 2-meter, 440, 10-meter, 12-meter.
Let's do 6 meters.
No, sir.
And you already checked it, because I didn't think mine did either, but both of mine do.
One of my handhelds do 6 meters.
I was thinking maybe they did, or maybe you had a way to do it when you were on this side of the hill.
Into that, but I just, like I said, hadn't come up to a way to do it yet. I can, the 857 or the 7100 boats will do 6 meters.
A beam or something and bounce it off that the other side of the valley wall.
I don't know. Just have to play with it and see.
Get the one he's going to link to over there north of Charlotte and link in.
Mountain behind me wraps around that side, too. I can't make the two. I can barely make the 285, and every now and then I can make the 330 machine. Where's it at?
I think it's on the west side of Charlotte.
I'll have to see if I can hit it.
Got a 2-meter repeater on 315. I used to use it all the time when I was in North Carolina going back and forth to work. And it's a good repeater. It's pretty busy, too. It's kind of like this one.
I'll have to check that out then and see if I can hit it. If it does, then maybe I can hit the one in Kings Mountain or wherever he's putting it over there. If not, maybe when he gets the one up further up, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I know it's getting kind of scratchy. Anyway, enjoy the rest of the evening. KO4HKX, W4DJW.
I'm going to go in here and let the dog out and try to put my feet up for a little bit. But good to talk to you this afternoon, Dave. You be careful out there, whatever you're doing. KO4HKX, and I'll be clear. 7-3.
Go, Ish. DJW.
Just got some parts in, put in this power supply. I wonder if it was keeping the radio working.
You talk.
Since they ain't been driving me up the wall, parts finally came in and I got them put in, and hopefully it'll continue to work now.
For about 5 seconds. Let me see what that sounds like.
It's probably kind of noisy because I'm on a J-pole inside the house here, Dave.
Okay, that's what it was. I did hear something. I didn't know what it was, but you just explained it. Okay, yeah, it's working good.
The thing is, this power supply came on, and it turned the radio on, and it's working now. That's one of those switching power supplies that I've had over here waiting on the parts to get here, and they finally came in, and I put them in, and just checking it out to make sure it's going to work right.
You did it. It's working good.
You have a great day. Tell Miss Amy we said hello, and I'll be listening for you on the net just a little while. Talk to you later, Dave. 73. Thanks for the come back and let me know the power supply is doing its thing. W4DJW, KI4DOS.
My pleasure. Tell Joy hello, and we'll catch you guys on the net this evening. KI4DOS, W4DJW, mobile.
We just had some homemade vegetable soup and very nice toasted cheese sandwich with it. And full as a tick. If there's another station, go ahead.
Hey, Kat. Hey, Gary. Hey, Tom. Hey, Miss Bernice.
I'm glad to hear you in there. I'm fixing to tell Tom I got sparks in for this. My power supply that I've been working on, and they finally came in. I put them in today, and it seems to be holding. I turned it off. I talked on it a little bit, and I turned it off and let it cool down and turned it back on, and it's still doing its thing. So I guess I'm doing all right. What do you think, Tom?
In fact, your deviation's pretty hot. Give me a dead key, Gary, just for 5, 6, 7 seconds.
Okay, here, Tom, that may be some kind of background noise or whatever. I'm talking off a J-pole that is inside the house. I'm sitting about 3.5 feet from it, so it's not far. I'm not hooked up to the outside antenna.
Roger. Oh, it's extra hot. It's really good, Gary. Noise I heard sound like maybe a muffin fan, and it would have been an S1 or less. I mean, it was way down in there. Go ahead, Patrick.
It's good up here on this end. I'm up at the house now, so I got steady signal from you.
You're at the home now?
Power up a little bit.
As far as I'm concerned, I don't have any problems hearing you at all.
No, sound great, Patrick.
Making sure I got it turned down on 5 watts on my crossband repeat.
Doing a good job for you, Patrick, no doubt. I'm going to turn this power supply off. I'm going to turn this other radio on, and we'll continue the conversation. I just wanted to make sure this power supply was going to hold up. And it seems to be, because I'm running an ICOM 706 Mark II G, that's what I'm talking on now. Off this little switching power supply, and the antenna's about 4 feet from me, 3 feet from me. So I'm going to switch over to the other radio, and we'll continue.
Okay, Gary. What blowed in the power supply?
Just a second to get switched over there, maybe.
Yeah. Go ahead, Patrick. How was your day?
Camp, it was good. How about you and Miss Bernice?
It's been fine. We didn't do any running around today. I did a lot of reading, just different news articles and that, and fooling around on the computer a little bit because it's been such a dreary dang day. Still 53 degrees, and of course the temperature this time of night would go down, but it's supposed to be beautiful the next 2 days. Looking at my weather station here, it says since midnight last 0.41 inches, which I don't know, that seemed like quite a bit. I don't remember hearing it rain that hard.
A bit of heavy rain, but I'm on the other side of town from where you're at.
It didn't have that much in the rain gauge out front, put it that way, but usually it corresponds to the rain gauge real closely. But anyway, Gary, go ahead. What was the problem with your power supply, and what was it? An Astron?
Astron is a little switching power supply. One of the, it's got switching transistors in there, and one of the transistors was bad. And I finally got those things in, got them put in. I went ahead, while I had it apart, I replaced the caps over there in the output stage of the power supply. It seems to be working fine now, though, Tom.
I would have assumed that had been surface mount, but I doubt it. Now, in talking to you, most of those switch modes I would have thought would have been that, and they're just unrepairable in my book.
Surface mount, I'd have had to get somebody else to do it. It's an older switching power supply. I don't know when it was made. I'd have to look that up. But it's working real good, and I unhooked it, took it off the bench, and hooked it back up. And if you hooked a analog meter to it, you couldn't tell with a fluke. But you put an analog meter on it, had a heartbeat. you could see it pulsing. So one side was putting out, the other side was not doing its thing. So I went ahead and got those transistors and replaced them and put them all back in, and everything seems to be working a whole lot better.
TR. Yeah, Gary, I don't know which fluke you were using, but my 87 has a scale at the bottom of it that you can see those things happening. Guys, I forgot more than I can remember on how to use it, but that 0 to 100% down there, even though it's steady on the output, the digital output, if you read that scale down below, it'll tell you if there's some AC riding on the DC, or you can go to True RMS and also see it there.
But that familiar with this fluke? I hadn't had it long, and it actually belonged to my son, and so it's an older fluke, but ain't nothing wrong with it. You know, it's a beautiful meter. But I put it on the output of the power supply, and it showed it like it was supposed to be working, but if I put an analog meter on it, it would pulse from, a little above 12 volts, or maybe a little less, up to over 13, and just sit there, and, you know, like it had a heartbeat. So, but I got the power supply fixed, so I'm in hog heaven as far as that goes. I'm glad I got it working again.
Well, I learned something. Anyways, I'll look for that if I ever run into it. And I still love my Simpson 260. So's Chad. Hey, go ahead, Patrick.
I was going to ask what the deal was with the switches and power supplies. Educate me a little bit.
Educate him. I don't like them, but, you know, they're a lot better now than years and years ago. Tell him what you think, Gary. This is Central TR.
I agree with you. I'm all for the linear power supplies. I don't like the big heavy transformers in them, but they seem to last a whole lot longer than the switching power supplies do. And Patrick, the switching power supply basically you're using two transistors in there. This one happens to be four. Yeah, it's got four of them in there. But it puts part of the voltage on one transistor, and then the other transistor switches on, and it supplies the rest of it. And you don't have a big old heavy transformer in there. It's all done with two little old transformers and the electronics.
That conversion from AC to DC, is that what it's doing?
that's what it's doing. But in my experience years ago, they got inverter welders in, and they had a lot of that in there, and they would switch to a real high frequency, and then that's easier to filter, Patrick, than it is to filter a lower frequency. And then they'd step it back down and go to an output, and they were RF noisy, and they've solved that. I have one on my amplifier here, and it's, I think, 48 volts. Knock on wood, I don't want no more trouble with power supplies. I had one, I just looked at it crooked here a few months ago, and it went out, Gary, and I don't know if it was a bridge rectifier or the switching transistors on the back, the pass transistors, what I'm trying to say. But they're so much easier to fix, Patrick, than a switching one. And they don't have a very, very small amount of AC riding on the DC after it's filtered. So in my opinion, they're the way to go. The Astron is. Go ahead, Gary.
To you, Tom. My father-in-law, this has been years ago, he had an Astron, what was that, a 35 or something like that. And anyway, he had lightning hit his station, and it got his power supply. And there's a little board in there, and it fried that board. So he got a whole new board and put it together, and he still couldn't get it to work. And I said, well, Daddy, I said, what have you checked on it? He said, I just put that board in there. So I brought it to the house, and the board was fine, but one of the pass transistors on the back, and then a couple of caps were bad. And I replaced the caps and the pass transistor, and it started working. And I guess it's still working today, because it's here at the house. I don't know if it's one that the radio's hooked to or not.
Curious what the different big deal was with the switches. But I see what it is now. Instead of using a transformer, you're using two transistors to do it. And more beneficial the other way. So, yeah, I get that.
Also, Patrick, and I don't know, on the power union, they might still be using, 3905s or whatever they are, Gary. But a lot of them nowadays, Patrick, are surface mount devices. And there's very few people in this world that can work on those around here. I know one, but I'm not going to mention his name. But I ran in several years ago, Gary, I ran into a 50-amp one, and it had an odd device in it that I'd never run into in my career. And I know they were in some of the things I worked on, but they had it marked as a metal oxide vent resistor. Well, I got drawers full of them at different voltages, so I went and replaced it. And then I got to looking, and I know the old one was bad, and it was a General Electric device, and it was a vent resistor, and it was rated in amps. It said 10 amps on the AC side. Never seen that before. And it never dawned on me, because I put a regular MOV in there, and as you know, they're an avalanche type thing. In other words, if you get a high voltage spike, it'll actually destroy itself. But gee, many, they're good for 1,000 amps or some ungodly number. They won't work. The vent resistor is like a thermistor, Gary, only it's the inverse of it. Instead of having a negative heat temperature coefficient, it's positive, so it took the inrush, and then the resistance went up instead of down like a thermistor. Sure fooled this old dog.
Yeah, they do us that way. They change things around and make us older fellas scratch our ears. Excuse me, I'm about to spit on myself. Scratch our heads all kinds of ways. But I'm glad that you got yours straightened out as well. But, gentlemen, my wife has called me for supper, so I'm going to go in yonder and feed my face and get ready for the net here in just a little bit. And I'll talk to y'all in just a little while. KO4HKX and N0TR, KI4DOS.
Gary, you and Miss Joy have a good evening, and I look forward to harassing you on the net here shortly. And, Tom, I'm going to step to the side so I can get my daily stuff done. KO4HKX, you and Miss Bernice have a good evening. 7-3.
Well, thank you, guys. I enjoyed visiting with both of you this evening. It took my mind off things. I got an electrical problem here. I'm trying to... the daughter had a miniature ice box, and it's a Peltier device in there that does the cooling, and I don't expect you to know what that is. It's sort of the inverse of a thermocouple, I guess you would say. They got that to go on, but it still ain't cooling, so... Everything else is jam-packed in there, so I don't know if I'm going to be able to fix it or not. It's not like a regular refrigerator, but... Oh, I'm having fun tinkering. Anyways, take care, guys. Pleasure's all mine. 7-3 is KO4HKX with KI4DOS and 0TR is clear.
Enjoying the lesson, 10-6-CLX.
You got a lot more brains than we got, being a... See, you're an IT guy, I thought.
I was just going to add 2 cents in that most of the, I think, I might be wrong, but I think most of the switching power supplies now use MOS, high voltage MOS devices, too.
Hey, my Maritron amplifier uses... Well, no, I think they're field effect transistors, but they're metal oxide semiconductors, if I remember rightly. But they're on separate heat sinks, in other words. They're not on one substrate, you know, like the car alternators are. And so if you lose one, you can repair it rather than replace all 6 of them.
I read an article the other day about high-voltage MOSFETs. Actually pretty interesting. Those things will pass, one device will pass 100 amps. Just amazing what they're able to do nowadays.
Remember K4SV talking about some kind of one up there that, you know, it was out of my realm, that you couldn't hardly destroy it. And I forget what type they were. But the ones in this 1200-watt amp are that. They're MOS field effect transistors, and they're 50 volts.
They've developed a new line of MOSFETs for these EV cars, electrical vehicles, because those batteries are pushing 1,000 volts now. So they've got 1,500 volt, 1,000 amp MOSFETs now. It's just freaking unbelievable.
A lot of dead firemen and EMS guys out there, if they aren't trained on that, that's sad. But some of the fires I've seen on these EV vehicles, they can stuff it.
I read about it, but you think I'm ever going to have one? I'll fight it. I'll be the last guy driving a gas engine down. I'll have to drive 200 miles to go fill up, but I'll still be driving it.
You're preaching to the choir. Yeah, I feel the same way. But you know what? It's coming, and we'll probably be forced to it unless something can happen to you know where. I can't see them giving benefits to this Scout company for making Scouts, which. Well, I don't know if it was you or somebody the other day said they had an international Scout when they were a kid and abused it and it took it. But they're ugly. And they remind me of the Ford Bronco in a way, only they're ugly. And the Bronco was a pretty nice looking vehicle. But to put $1.2 billion of our state money into it, I think McMaster's is making a big mistake there, but I'm certain I'd be in the minority because it's going to supposedly create 4,000 jobs, but that's the positive side of it. But if it goes belly up, that's going to be a pretty big negative.
A lot of people just aren't thinking this thing through. You know, I went onto this website to see what they're touting about that, and first of all, they're putting all this money towards a plant, and there's zero information on the vehicle. Zero. You get a web page, and that's it. And it's very minimal. So it looks like they're trying to tout it like it's some kind of fun off-roading EV. When's the last time you saw a charging station off-road?
John Deere's trying to get them to go electric on, vehicles like tractors and combines. Where's the charging station out in the middle of western Kansas when you got 8 or 10 of them running side by side and they get stuck out in the middle of the field? I don't see it. And I don't see that it's going to have that big of an impact on the environment. They're just rushing things way too fast. Now, Dave Watson mentioned one that one of the lithium ions, I think it was, that had a sulfur based in it, and it could store a great deal more energy than that. There are other discoveries on the horizon, and that may well be. All I'm seeing is they're pushing this too far right now. But like you said, unless you try something, you're never going to know it works. But I don't see doing that and destroying our nation and running the strategic oil supply down to about 25%. Also, one of my cousins is, two of them are retired colonels, and we've given away so many of our weapons now that we're down to about 25% of what we should have, and I don't see that pushing this agenda is worth the results in the end, I guess you would say.
They don't talk about it in the news. It's a dirty secret about that Silicon Valley Bank that went broke. That was there and existed as a political mechanism for giving loans to these companies inventing green stuff. And so you're going to see a huge number of these companies like Scout. I'm not saying they're part of it, but these companies that exist as a website, they won't exist anymore because their funding's gone.
To get away from the political stuff, if possible, but the Scout, the company that makes them, has plenty of money, and they didn't need this money in order to build the plant. Now, on the other hand, they wouldn't build it here if we didn't give it to them, so it's sort of like a financial blackmail with these companies anymore, and everybody's out vying to get them, you know?
And it is. It started with the sports stadiums, I would say.
Well, that worked out. They're tearing one of them down up here now, and I'm not a big sports fan, but that's pretty sad. And it's hard on the people that were building it, I'm sure. A lot of jobs lost there. But at any rate, I don't know. That one there seemed kind of silly. And like I said, I worked on high voltage all my life. And 483 phase would kill you in a heartbeat. And I've worked on a little higher than that at times. And for a fire truck or something like that to pull up on these, you know, I don't know what the situation's going to be, but if you got to extricate a person out of that thing, it could be bad news bears.
Long-range Tesla batteries are something over 800 volts, 825, but they're over 800 volts now they're putting out. It's the only way they could get these things to have enough capacity do what they've got to do.
You know, Bernice and I could get along with one. I even have an outlet in the carport where I could charge it, 220 outlet. But I don't want to get out on the road, which we don't have any plans to, and drive for 3 hours or whatever the range might be, and then have to stand there and wait for them to charge up. And that's debatable. I don't know how long they take to charge, but it's, I've heard an hour and a half for quick charge or something like that. And then I also heard the redundancy of these charging stations has been very poor. I think Tesla's the best one out there as far as their infrastructure goes.
Hey, I can't remember what I was looking at now. When I was up at the auto show, testing show that we go into for work, the guy next to us in the booth had one of these EVs, one of these off-road EVs. It was the GM, I believe. Anyway, I was looking at it, and he was showing me this dirty secret of this battery, and it's just like an automotive battery for running all the other stuff. Says, but if you run that battery down, it's bad news because you won't be able to run anything. You've got to tow it to the dealer to have it reboot because the computers are all gone, run off of it. And if they go down, everything is down. It won't start. It's a crazy thing. So, you know, it's in its infancy right now, but...
They don't have the megawatts for the grid to keep up with this and all the growth that is going on, especially down here. And there are not a lot of people like us. I could go buy one and then use my pickup if I wanted to, go very far, and then just run around in the electric vehicle. But you're going to spend $50,000 just to do that. I can buy a lot of gasoline.
Making this repeater. I was doubling with you there. Yep, I agree with you. And I was saying that I feel like I'm the guy yelling, get a horse, to the fella driving down the street in his brand new automobile in the 1900s. Anyway, I'll talk to you later, Tom. I'm home. Gonna go start the evening. And you have a good evening, too. And see you later.
Okay, Mike. I need to get away from this radio. Bernice was asking me who it is, and she's gonna go out and get the eggs. Oh, I've been having a little bit of trouble with this cold air, and my congestive heart failure doesn't like it, so she's gonna do me a favor and go get eggs right now. You take care, Mike. It's been interesting. Pleasure's all mine in 6CLX and 0TR is clear.